Haven't already signed it. So far we have Brian Subal and Celine signed it. It's also the disappearance day of, I mean, it's just him first, of Ajiva Goswami. A passage from the book on Radhakunda, Jan Kutir, there on the Radhakunda of Jiva Goswami. On the opposite side of the Parikram Marg from Lalita Kund is a wall with a door leading into Sri Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and another small temple of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Walk through a small garden and under the stone roof of the Kirtan Mandap, just in front of Sri Jiva Goswami's Kutira. In the temple directly next door, there is a plaster impression of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, said to be originals coming from Jagannath Puri. Although Das Goswami was the inspiration, the practical work of excavating and managing Radhakund was done by Jiva Goswami. This is something a lot of people aren't aware of, that the practical work of excavating and managing Radhakund was done by Jiva Goswami. Consequently, Jiva Goswami often came to Radhakunda to look after the affairs of Sripad Das Goswami, who was always deeply absorbed in feeling separation from Radhagiri Hari. Sri Jiva Goswami established the worship of Sri Sri Radha Damodar in Seva Kunja, Vrindavan. In Vrajadam, Sri Jiva lovingly serves Sri Radha as Vilasa Manjari, one of Radha's Ashta Manjaris. A little sketch from the Samadhi's book. Samadhi. As the nephew of Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami displayed all the charming features of a Mahapurush, divine person. Lotus eyes, a high nose and forehead, broad chest, long arms, and a radiant golden body. In his boyhood, he made a deity of Krishna Balaram. Expressing his pure devotion, he would often cry while worshipping them. After offering clothes, chandan, flowers, ornaments, and tasty sweets to Krishna Balaram, he would take some and give Mahaprasadam to his playmates. From the beginning, Jiva showed his kindness to other jivas, living entities. Jiva was so much attached to Krishna Balaram that at bedtime he would embrace his deities and fall asleep. His parents thought he was only playing, but the villagers rejoiced to see Jiva's love for Krishna Balaram. In school, he quickly mastered Sanskrit grammar, poetry, logic, philosophy. Srimad Bhagavatam gave life to his life. Krishna Katha filled him with happiness. No one dared to speak to him about anything but Krishna. He toured Navadvip Dham with Sri Nityananda Prabhu, studied Sanskrit in Benares, and then resided in Vrindavan. After humbly serving Sri Rupa Goswami by washing his feet, preparing his manuscripts, and editing his books, he received Diksha. The aging Vaishnava Vallabhacharya gave critical advice to Rupa Goswami on his writing. Although much younger than the venerable Vallabha, Sri Jiva brazenly spoke in defense of his guru. Sri Rupa Goswami scolded Jiva, telling him to leave Vrindavan. Living in an abandoned crocodile hole in Nandagat, 45 minutes from Sri Rupa's Bhajan Kutir, Sri Jiva Goswami began fasting. He subsisted on wheat flour, which he baked, mixed with Jamuna water. Seeing his strict denial, Sanatan Goswami brought him back to the service of Sri Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada once commented on this guru-disciple pastime. This is the quote. Sri Rupa Goswami cast out Jiva Goswami to teach us, the devotees of today, a lesson. It was not to teach or punish Sri Jiva Goswami, who is perfectly liberated, who is a perfectly liberated, eternal associate of Lord Krishna. Sri Rupa Goswami sent Jiva out of Vrindavan to teach all jivas what he wrote in Upadeshamrita, Pacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam. At all times, a devotee should control his tongue, his speech, and always remain humble. Trinadapi Sunichena. After the disappearance of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana Goswamis, Sri Jiva became the Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharya to guide all Vaishnavas in Navadvipa, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. Although he was the undisputed teacher, he always acted as a humble servant of all the jivas. Whenever Bengali Vaishnavas visited Vrindavan, he would lovingly receive them. arrange for prasadam and comfortable rooms, and even guide them on Braj Mandal Parikram. A super excellent Sanskrit scholar, Sri Jiva Goswami, would compose Sanskrit verses in his mind and write them down without changing anything. Write them down means he used a metal stylus to permanently etch them in palm leaves. This inscription method left no room for erasing, editing, rewriting, or running a spell check. Yet each verse was a priceless gem, a perfect meter, rhythm, poetry, and meaning. He was the greatest philosopher in all of Indian history. Contemporary Sanskritists call him the greatest scholar who ever lived. When I was living in London, the temple was situated very near to a division of the University of London, and in that division was a school called the SOAS, School for Oriental and African Studies. On one of the anniversaries of Jiva Goswami, there were little flyers, and there were also posters posted up around the school. The posters said that they were honoring Jiva Goswami. They called him the greatest philosopher in the history of the world. That was quite amazing, because we didn't know very much about Jiva Goswami at the time. That was around about 1971. To see a school like this glorifying him as the greatest philosopher in the world was quite astounding. Sri Jiva Goswami was the youngest but most prolific writer among the Goswamis. He wrote an astounding 500,000 Sanskrit verses, about 25 books. His books prove that Sri Chaitanya's philosophy gives the essence of Vedic wisdom and the perfection of religion. Gopala Champu, Satsandarbhas, and Harinam Vyakarana are three of his most famous works. The Sandarbhas firmly establish the transcendental truths of Srimad Bhagavatam. They also confirm that Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute truth, Svayam Bhagavan, the cause of everything and the source of all avatars. Anyone who faithfully reads these books will become a devotee of Krishna. Sachinarayan Das, a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sanskrit scholar, who is presently translating the Sandarbhas into English for ISKCON, BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. I think that's no longer, but it was. Gives this explanation of Jiva Goswami's name. Actually, Jiva Goswami's name, Jiva, is very interesting when considered in the light of the Bhagavata verse, Ahastani Sahastanam Apadani Chatushpadam Jiva Jivasya Jivanam. Animals without hands are food for those with hands. Those without feet are food for the four-legged. Everywhere, one jiva, living entity, is food for another, end quote. Another meaning of jiva is, quote, one who gives life to others, end quote. So the spiritual knowledge given by Jiva Goswami in his 25 books gives life to all the devotees. This is another quote. Another name of jiva is jivaka, or one who makes the jivas, living beings, emit ecstatic sounds. End quote. Sri Jiva Goswami did this by supplying esoteric meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam through his Bhagavat commentaries and the Satsandarbhas. One who expands the nature of the jiva, his relationship with the Lord, the process to achieve the goal and the ultimate purpose of life is called jivaka or jiva. I don't know what that quote's from, but it's a quote. The following quote comes from Jiva Goswami's Nectarian Gopala Champu, which describes the playful Vrindavan pastimes of Radha Damodar. This is a quote. From Govardhan Hill, a large form of Govardhan manifested. All the Vrajvasis, along with Krishna himself, then offered obeisances to that towering form. As Sri Krishna stood by with folded hands, that great personality Govardhan bellowed, "I shall eat all your offerings." He ate and drank water by emptying all the kundas around the hill. While eating all the preparations made by the Vrajavasis with his right hand, he snapped the fingers of his left hand. The cowherd men ran out of the way when Govardhan stretched out his hands to take more and called out, "Aniyor, Aniyor, Aniyor, bring more, bring more, bring more." At the request of Acharyarani Janavadevi Thakurani, Sri Jiva Goswami and Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu take the Goswami's writings from Vrindavan to Bengal. They translated them into Bengali and distributed them throughout Bengal and Orissa. They also preached extensively and initiated hundreds of devotees. In 1542, Sri Jiva Goswami established the worship of Sri Sri Radha Damodar in Sevakunj, Vrindavan. His samadhi stands in the temple compound. Sri Jiva Goswami is Vilasa Manjari in Radha Damodar's Nitya Vrindavan Lila. Goswami Ki Jai. A book on Radhakunda, Radhakunda Mahima Madhuri. You have been to maybe the Bhajan Kutir of Bhaktivinod Thakur in Radhakunda. Yeah. Anybody else been there? Coming to the Radhakunda Prakram path, continue 30 meters, veer left on the broad cobblestone road just before the path bends to the right. Walk another 70 meters until you see a building on the right with a colorful sign above the entrance which says, Braja Svananda Sukhara Kunja. From 1900 to 1936, this kutir was used by Bhaktivinod Thakur and Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. During the Kartik month, Sri Saraswati Thakur would come here with thousands of devotees. In Godrumadweep, Thakur Bhaktivinod built another Bhajan Kutir in the Sevananda Sakura Kunja of Navadweep Dham. Bhaktivinod Thakur wrote in Gita Mali, My small cottage shines within that most enchanting garden called Svananda Sukhara Kunja. That means the grove that gives one the happiness of my own bliss. Living there, I will sing Krishna's holy name and will greedily hanker for the time when I will get the personal service of him and his associates. Suddenly, while chanting and meditating like this, the songs of a divine flute will enter this maidservant's ear. This is a quote. Becoming madly excited by such a sound, I will forget everything and will only listen to spellbound to those wonderful songs of Sri Krishna's flute. The low, deep sound of his long Murali flute will call out, Radhe, Radhe, the very name of my own worshipable queen. Startled with wonder by hearing such a sound, this maidservant will jump in great haste with an extremely anxious heart, not knowing what to do next. This maidservant has a complexion just like lightning. She wears a sari which has star-like patterns all over it. My name is Kamala Manjari. And there's a bracket. Here Bhaktivinod Thakur reveals his Manjari name. End of bracket. Eternally appearing to be only 12 and a half years of age, I always live within the abode of Svananda Sukhara Kunja, Gita Mali. And goes on. Inside, there are two rooms. One contains Pushpa Samadhis of Bhaktivinod Thakur and his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The cane and wooden shoes of Sri Labhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur are in the bedroom. Now we can take the purifying dust of Saraswati Thakur's shoes on heads. Holding his cane, we should beat our minds every day, 100 times, with Saraswati Thakur's chastening instructions. Because he said that we should beat the mind every day, 100 times, with a broomstick. In the morning and then at night, with a cane, 100 times. O mind, always engage yourself in the service of Sri Radha. Keep away from the snake of material enjoyment. There is nothing glorious about performing kirtan simply for name and fame. You are the eternal servant of Srimati Radharani. Why then do you renounce her for the cheating process of nirjana bhajana? Why do you run after false renunciation and thereby give up the service of Sri Radha? The residents of Vrindavan are the real object of preaching. They do not aspire for false prestige, nor are they devoid of life, as are the false renunciants. Those who have spiritual vitality can preach and instill spiritual life in their audience. Preaching is a symptom of vitality. What did Prabhupada say about that? In almost the same words, preaching is the symptom of vitality. Preaching is the essence. What else? A dead man doesn't preach. If you're alive, you're preaching. And if you're not preaching, you're a dead man. One who preaches the message of Krishna consciousness is devoid of hopes for prestige. This is a quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from the Mahajana Rachita Gita. Sri Daitaya Das, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, the humble servant of Sri Radha and her beloved Krishna, always hopes for kirtan and begs everyone to loudly sing the holy name of the Lord. By the influence of such kirtan, one may gradually come to the exalted stage of smaranam, wherein one constantly remembers the pastimes of Krishna within one's mind. Nirjana Bhajana is conceivable only after attaining this advanced level of Krishna Bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also revealed his eternal identity as Nayana Mani Manjari. So this is another important point that Prabhupada is making. Very often the question comes up of whether or not, or to what extent, Rasika Bhakti or Bhajana or Nirjana Bhajana is important in relationship to Gostyanandi, to preaching. So here is a very strong statement to show that there was great emphasis placed on preaching, and that one would have to be a preacher and at the same time become purified. Sometimes these are compared to parallel tracks of a train. Both tracks are necessary in order for the train to run. So one must be in constant remembrance, and then one must preach. Sometimes it is described that the Goswamis, including Jiva, were bhajananandis, that they were simply writing. But Lokanam hitakareno tribhuvane manyo sharanya karo, that verse that describes the six Goswamis, says that they were always engaged in researching and writing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The Goswamis were doing this. But why were they doing it? Lokanam hitakareno tribhuvane manyo sharanya karo. They were doing it for the benefit of everyone throughout the world and the three worlds. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipunosa Dharma Samstapa Ko Lokanam Hitakarana. So there was the reasoning. So Prabhupada is also known for saying he wanted to die with his boots on, like Arjuna. He wanted to preach till the very last breath. At the same time, he exhibited pure devotion to Krishna. So this is the mission, to preach to everybody. Prabhupada writes that this is the sublime mission of the Hare Krishna movement. That's in the purport of one of the verses in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. The mission of the Hare Krishna movement is to Jare Dake Tare Kahe Krishna Upadesh, to speak to everyone about Krishna. But as has been pointing out here, and as Prabhupada said many times, unless one is constantly remembering Krishna, that preaching will become weak. Therefore one has to hear with great enthusiasm and great taste every day, and worship the deity, and respect the prasadam, and worship the devotees, and chant with great enthusiasm. Then, with that purification, one will be overflowing with a desire to preach. So both things are emphasized. And there's also the notion of retiring, and nirjana, going into bhajan, permanent bhajan in a place like Radhakunda, and retiring. So here it is said, unless one comes to the point of being perfectly remembering Krishna at every second, there's no question that one can go to such a place and retire and become a kind of Babaji or Bhajanandi. So even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like this, he was a Babaji in the last part of his life, he cannot be imitated because he was perfectly realized, perfectly existing in Smarana. When one constantly remembers the pastimes of Krishna within one's mind, then it is possible that Nirjana Bhakti is conceivable, one says. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, Nirjana Bhakti is conceivable only after attaining this advanced level of Krishna Bhakti. So Prabhupada indicated that we haven't attained this level, we can't reach this level. Therefore, we're constantly preaching to help us. Because when we preach, it also forces us to remember. Because we have to speak something, and in order to speak something, we have to retain, we have to remember whatever we've assimilated. So preaching also increases smarana. So the two things are complementary. By smarnam, you feel overflowing with the nectar of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you want to preach. And the more you preach, the more you begin to realize, well, there's things that I don't know, things I have to learn, things I have to remember. Otherwise, it becomes repetitive or dried up. So both things are complementary and necessary. Today is the second Sunday of Vaishikananda's class leading up to senior certificate. So that'll start, just so everyone knows, at 10 o'clock in the 108 building, Vaishika. And we're finding there's great enthusiasm for this class. So anyone who wants to attend can see Vaishikananda. 3, 4 o'clock, wow. With a break, a little break for lunch. So 6 hours of nectar. And it's kind of Vaishnava etiquette. You've got a manual, too. And the manual's based on something that I think Bhakti Charu originally wrote up. Not over such a long period of time, but over 2 days, and it's very, very wonderful. Course in Krishna Consciousness. He lives in India. He's trying to become, he's an American, he's trying to become a citizen of India, going through the lore and a lot of the body of knowledge about the Goswamis. And if you ever go to Radhakund, when he's there a good amount of time, he will take you on a little tour of some of these. So, this is a little biographical sketch he wrote on Bhaktivinod Thakur. By the way, does anyone have something you want to say about Bhaktivinod Thakur? Bhaktivinod Thakur is very famous. And I thought it would be a nice little exercise to just say anything that comes to your mind about before we start reading about Bhaktivinod Thakur. I mean, it can be anything. It can be very trivial. He had doesn't have to be too specific, you know, who his son was, what kind of a family he had, what he did, where he lived, anything, what he wrote. Just anything that comes to mind when you hear Bhaktivinod Thakur, whose guru he was, and who was his guru, like that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I have time to read about that. There was one yogi who was pretending he was God, and he cursed Bhaktivinod's daughter to die, or he cursed that there would be some horrible calamity in her family. His daughter powered through this whole thing, exponents of Lord Chaitanya's teaching for someone to do it, and he gave birth to the person who started it. The first Krishna consciousness book to the Western world, which was? To which university? In? Canada. Very good. In Precepts, I think it's called. Anything else? Time he showed how you don't waste a second for Krishna, and he was the master of management. We'll probably read about that. This is one of the things about Bhaktivinod Thakur that it's about Bhaktivinod Thakur. What he wrote a book about the marketplace, the holy name, established the whole principle of congregational preaching. Different nationalities would converge in Mayapur and chant together Jai Sachinanda. There would be a great temple there, right? That's very good. We're getting very enriched. Chidananda Bhaktivinod Thakur appeared in 1838 in a wealthy family in the Nadia district, West Bengal. He revealed that he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his extraordinary preaching activities and prolific writing. Living as a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav, he stayed in the Grihastha Ashram until the last few years of his life. Then he renounced everything, accepted Babaji, and entered Samadhi, totally absorbed in the loving service of Gaur Gadadhar and Radha Madhava. He had a responsible government position as the district magistrate, high court judge, maintained a Krishna conscious family, and wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty of his life. After a full day of government service, he would sleep 4 hours. We can't try to imitate. Get up at midnight and write until morning. That was his daily program. That's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Thakur Bhaktivinod took Vaishnava Diksha from Sri Vipin Vihari Goswami in the line of Sri Janava Mata. Afterwards, he received spiritual inspiration and direction from Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. Holding an exalted government post, vast erudition and spiritual accomplishment never disturbed Bhaktivinod Thakur. Remained prideless, always humble, friendly to all. Charity seekers in his home always left happy and satisfied. A well-wisher to everyone, he never kept grudges, even with opponents to his preaching. In fact, he never spoke a word that would hurt another's feelings. The Thakur was always courageous and acted for everyone's welfare. Keeping personal needs to a minimum, he led the simplest of lives. Said one pandit, in the following entry from Sharanagati, Srila Bhaktivinod, who had all pure divine qualities, takes the role of a conditioned soul to teach us how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Quote, you should always absorb your mind in attentively chanting Krishna's glories. By performing Krishna kirtan, you will gain mastery over your mind. Give up all false pride. Always think yourself to be worthless, destitute, lower, and more humble than straw in the street. Practice forgiveness like the tree. Giving up all violence toward other living beings, you should maintain them. Throughout your life, you should never give anxiety to others. But do good to them, make them happy, and forget about your own happiness. Thus, when you become a pious good soul, by possessing all good qualities. You should give up desires for name and honor, and just make your heart humble. Knowing that Lord Sri Krishna lives within all living beings, you should respect and honor everyone at all times. You will attain virtue by being humble, merciful, respecting others, and renouncing desires for fame and honor. In such a state, you should sing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Weeping, Bhakti Vinod submits his prayer at the lotus feet of the Lord. O Lord, when will you give me such qualities as these? Always anxious to use every moment in loving service of Krishna, he followed a strict, austere daily schedule. So this is his daily schedule. There might be a few minor variations in this and some of the things we read, but this is basically it. 8 to 10 p.m., rest, 2 hours. 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., write. 4 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., rest. 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., chant japa. 7 to 7:30, correspondence. Sometimes we lament about the avalanche of email that we have to deal with and think that if we, you know, I mean, wonder how we can do it in any less than 6 or 7 hours. And he did all his correspondence. He was a high court judge, magistrate, and main caretaker of the Jagannath Puri temple. And he did it all in half an hour by hand, no computer. So correspondence, half an hour, 7 to 7:30 a.m. 7:30 to 9:30, 2 hours, study Shastra. 9:30 to 10 a.m., bathe and prasadam. So bath and prasadam is all in half an hour. That prasadam was half a liter of milk, fruit, and 2 chapatis. Then, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., court duties. 3 hours of work. 1 to 2 p.m., refresh at home. 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., court duties. Another 3 hours of work, making 6. 5 to 7 p.m., translate Shastras to Bengali, 2 hours. And then 7 to 8, bathe and prasadam. Same prasadam, it's a little different. Half a liter of milk, rice, and 2 chapatis. Rice instead of fruit. That takes you back to 8 o'clock where there's resting. So it looks like... Here's the summary. Summary of the daily schedule. Sleep, how many hours did he sleep? Alexi? How many hours did Bhakti Vinod Thakur sleep? How many? 6? 3.5? What did you... The summary here says 3. Let's see, 8 to 10, and then there's another half hour. So it should be 3.5, right? 8 to 10, that's 2. I'm sorry, 8 to 10, 2. And then 4 to 4:30, that's 1.5. So that's 2.5 hours. Yeah, well, if we count refreshing, there's 2.5. If we count the refreshing, then that's another hour. So either 2.5 or 3.5. Also, he had a reputation for being able to dispense with very complex court cases that would take British and other magistrates, Indian magistrates, many hours to figure out. He would mete out the proper just conclusions in just lightning time. And so he was able to complete a huge volume of work in a very short time. People were amazed. So sleep 3 hours. We said 2.5 to 3.5. So I guess he just averaged it out here. 3 hours. Write 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours out of a 24-hour day writing. Japa and study. Combined, 4.5 hours. That was about 2 hours of Shastra, 2.5 hours of japa, and work 6 hours. So that's the schedule for everyone. You can't even begin to think of how this is possible. But it's an indication of how someone like Vyasa is possible. Now, these are empowered living beings that wrote voluminously, incredibly. I went to the library once in the British Museum. They have a big library there. I guess it's part of the museum. And I was wanting to see. I'd heard that there were so many books about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I looked and looked and couldn't find anything under Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then I remembered that he had another name earlier in life, Kedarnath Dutt. So I looked under Dutt. And there were so many books. I mean, dozens and dozens of books. And there were books on the history of the world. There was one called the Porya. There was one on the marriage system of Bengal. Just book after book. You couldn't check them out. You could just read them. Or maybe make photocopies. But the size of well, his output was just astounding. You know, for one person to do that and do all the other things he was doing at the same time, it's just amazing. Srinivasacharya praises the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipuno Sadharma Samstapa Kolokanam Hitakarino. The six Goswamis deeply studied all the Shastras in order to establish eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. So they really were ultimately Gostinandis, although they were engaged in a Bhajananandi activity. Similarly, Bhaktivinod made unlimited preaching contributions to help humanity. And for this, he's known as the seventh Goswami. Biographers list three major preaching achievements of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Anyone want to guess what one of them was? It was already said. I'm giving a big hint. Huh? Yes, yes, that's one. Okay. You want to carry? 100 books? Well, this one is a little tricky, but introduce preaching innovations. Maybe we'll come back to that. Introduce preaching innovations. So he wrote 100 books? 100 authorized spiritual books. He discovered the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he introduced preaching innovations. So we'll discover what these innovations are. Besides books, in Bengali, Oriya, and English, he also wrote in Oriya, reviving and explaining Mahaprabhu's message, he wrote hundreds of poems and songs full of spiritual sentiments and Shastric Siddhanta, philosophical conclusions. His writings have made the sacred teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully available to every modern reader. And they are presented in a form which carries irresistible conviction and devotion, said a late disciple of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And here's a list of some of his works. Sri Krishna Samhita, Kalyana Kalpataru, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Sri Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmyam, Jaiva Dharma, Sri Harinam Chintamani, Bhajana Rahasya, Gita Mali, Gita Vali, Sharanagati, and commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Chaitamrita are some of his works. The following quote comes from Thakur Bhaktivinoda's Gita Vali. He who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Sri Radhika, which are the abodes of all auspiciousness. He who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Sri Radhika, which are the abodes of all auspiciousness, period. I don't understand that sentence, but anyway, that's the way it reads. Who has not taken shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, which is decorated with the lotus flower named Radhika. He who in this life is not associated with the devotees of Radhika, who are full of wisdom and love for Radhika, how will such a person ever feel the bliss of bathing in the ocean of Lord Shyamasundara's sublime mellows? Please understand this most attentively. Sri Radhika is the teacher of Madhurya Ras, mellows of conjugal love. Radha Madhava, Madhurya Prema, is meant to be discussed and meditated upon. He who cherishes the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani obtains the lotus feet of Madhava, which are priceless jewels. Without taking shelter of Radha's lotus feet, one can never meet Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Sri Radha. Give up wife, sons, friends, wealth, followers, speculative knowledge, all materialistic actions. Just become absorbed in the sweetness of serving the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is Bhaktivinoda's solemn declaration. Of course, he, as we'll discuss if we have time, adopted the principle of Yuktam Vairagya. When he says giving up, it doesn't mean that one casts aside or jettisons or goes away from things material, but rather becomes so attached to Krishna that those are all used in a Krishna service so that they don't become incomplete forms of... So the renunciation is not incomplete. Prapanji taka. What is it? There's a Ujya. Mukshuvi parityago lukachite. So this Vairagya Pago Kachite is false renunciation, is improperly or untimely giving up. One sannyasi once gave a kind of a, and asked, when's it time to take sannyas? And he said, it has to be when the time is ripe or right. And it's just like cutting a fingernail, he said. If you try to cut it before it's time, it'll be very painful. So you have to wait until the right time. So this is the renunciation that Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached, and he, by his life, exhibited that you can have a very responsible position, 6 hours a day, meeting out justice in the courts, and writing prolifically, spending most of his time in serving Krishna. During the last 500 years, the original appearance place of Lord Chaitanya had vanished over the indomitable Ganges River, under the indomitable Ganges River. In 1888, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Janmastan at the Yoga Pit in Sridharmayapur. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, a famous Siddha saint and Paramahansa Rasika Vaishnava, confirmed the Thakur's discovery. Does anyone know that story of how he confirmed the discovery? Information. Between 120 and 144 years old somewhere. And he was so old that he couldn't actually keep his eyes open. He had to prop them open when he wanted to see. And he was like doubled over and couldn't talk. But when he was brought to this place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted confirmation. He leapt out of the basket and danced in ecstasy. Amazing. This most auspicious event delighted the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Gauramandala to Brajabhumi. He established the worship of Lord Gauranga and Srimati Vishnu Priya at Yogapith. In the mood of innovation in 1896, he sent to universities around the world a book of shlokas, Sri Gauranga Lila Smarana, which had a 47-page English introduction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. So that's the book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. This act rose from a keen desire to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the Western countries. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made three predictions concerning a person and a phenomena. A personality will soon appear, wrote Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that was one of his predictions, great predictions. He's known as the Senapati, the great general, father of the Chaitanya army, the general of the army. Second prediction, very soon the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come when people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia will take up kartals and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns? So that's, he also said in Mayapur, but in their own towns, that's also happened. And the third prediction, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sridharmayapur and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. When will that day be? Srila Prabhupada said, it's spiritually significant that he himself appeared in 1896, the same year Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his book overseas. The will of Lord Chaitanya, the desire of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, and the mercy of Srila Saraswati Thakur empowered Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to spread Sri Chaitanya's teachings and the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. Prabhupada filled the Thakur's three predictions. So he made three predictions, and then Prabhupada fulfilled all three of them. Out of pride, full of humility, radiant with pure love for Radha Govinda, Srila Prabhupada gave all credit to the previous acharyas. We should take it, said Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna consciousness ISKCON, of the Krishna consciousness movement ISKCON, in its pure form. In 1986, just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, 3,000, quote, fair-skinned devotees, end quote, from America, England, France, Germany, Russia, and 50 other countries, gathered at the ISKCON Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir at Sridharmayapur. They joined 1,000 Bengali Vaishnavas to rock the universe, those are his words, by chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Gaura Hari, Srila Sachinandana Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. In 1914, on the Tirobhava Tithi, disappearance day of Sri Gadadhara Pandit, the incarnation of Sri Radha, Thakur Bhaktivinoda entered the eternal pastimes of Gaur Gadadhara and Radha Madhava. In Godruma Dweep, Abhidweep, Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhara, the worshipable deities of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, await to bless any visitors to Svanananda Sadaka Kunja. Madhava's Nitya Braja Leela, Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes the form of Kamala Manjari to serve Srimati Radharani. His Pushma Samadhi is in the Bhajan Kutir at Radhakund. Sri Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. So it's getting a little late. I think for the evening when we have guests and we can read from the seventh Goswami, we can hear about how Bhaktivinoda overcame the yogi, Rishikeshena, and other dramatic events. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Granthara Shri Ki Jai.